Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, May 10th, top of the hour. High noon, everybody. Well, we've had a lot of fun this past weekend in Kansas, but coming up this weekend will be one of my favorite tracks. So, without further ado, let's welcome to the show my very special guest from Dover International Speedway Department of Communications, Mr. Mike Lewis. Mike, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hi, Vince. Happy to be here.
So, this is a little different. They decided to switch the first race at the Monster Mile to before Labor Day, when it used to be the first weekend after Labor Day.
Usually we are right after the Charlotte doubleheader, the All-Star race, and the Coca-Cola 600 there for our spring weekend. This year the calendar started a little earlier, so we were bumped up to before Charlotte. And any place we are, we're extremely pleased with it. The 2017 schedule came out last week, as I'm sure you're aware, and we are back to our traditional first weekend of June in 2017. But this year we're happy with where we are.
Oh, well, anytime you have two races on the Sprint Cup Series schedule, of course, being a fixture at Dover from about the year 2000 through 2011 when I moved to Virginia, mm-hmm. I'd cover every race down there. So it was always I'd be planning my trip to Dover this week and heading out on Friday morning because I lived in southern New Jersey and making the 90-mile ride daily back and forth.
Right. And, yes, and, of course, in the fall, we're still the first elimination race in the chase for the Sprint Cup, so there's always going to be drama with our fall Sprint Cup race there.
Well, that's a good thing that they gave that Dover got a prominent race, because it means a lot to see that. I remember when they used to be the second race in the chase, then they moved it to the third. Now they added that as the elimination factor, which really puts a lot of pressure on the drivers. And coming into the Monster Mile, it is not an easy place to run. I mean, you got the high banking, and you have a banking down the straightaways, which no other track has, and they can really get some speed up, and you have to really get on it to get into the corners.
Right. Where our banking in the front stretch and the back stretch is 9 degrees, and then when they get to all four of our corners are 24 degrees. So it's hard to argue that Dover is not one of the most unique tracks on the circuit. And you mentioned the pressure that the Sprint Cup drivers have if they're in the chase to come here for an elimination race. We remember last year where Kevin Harvick basically needed a victory to advance, and he got that in style. He led more than 300 of our 400 laps years to advance. And of course, everyone remembers Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jamie McMurray battling to the end for that final transfer for the final advancement spot. So always it's going to be an exciting chase elimination race here at Dover.
That's for sure. And coming up this weekend is the actual trifecta, or the triple header. You have all three major touring series at the Monster Mile, with the Truck Series on Friday, Xfinity Series on Saturday, and the Sprint Cup Series this coming Sunday.
Yes, I think it's the first triple header for NASCAR since Atlanta. So the third one, counting Daytona. It's the third time this year that all the three series will be in one place in one weekend.
And you can get a good deal on tickets, too. I know you can go to DoverSpeedway.com, and so do you use the old 1-800-441-RACE.
That is correct, DoverSpeedway.com and 1-800-441-RACE for race. Yes, that is correct. There's still seats available for all three of our races this weekend, and the weather is looking great for Saturday and Sunday. So anybody within the driving distance, come on out.
And you also have great activities out in the fan zone there. Everybody gets to see Miles the Monster and all the other good things. And you also have some concerts coming up there this weekend.
We do. Speaking of Miles the Monster, we just put a new car in his hand back in that last day of March this year. It's a Smithfield Ford there for Richard Petty Racing. They have their own sponsorship now. Smithfield is actually the sponsor of the Monster Monument at Victory Plaza this for the next couple years, so we're very pleased with that. And as far as our free concerts go, we have Janet Kramer is playing on Sunday morning. People, she's an up-and-coming country music star. You might have seen her on One Tree Hill early on in her career. And on Saturday, we have a concert doubleheader. We have Tom Dixon at 9 o'clock, and we have Sam Groh playing at 11 a.m. in our Victory Plaza stage. So it's always exciting out there for the fans to come out and not only see the races but experience some free concerts as well.
It's always a good time. I always enjoyed coming down to cover the races there at Dover, and I considered it just to take vacation days off my other job just to come to cover the race for my radio show. So
right.
It's always a good way to get away, and you know, of course, one can't deny the dominance of one Jimmy Johnson at the Monster Mile. It seems like every year he piles on at least one win a season, and there was no slouch last year at this time.
That's correct. He won the spring race here in last year, and that was his 10th overall victory at the Monster Mile, which is of course our track record historically. And but in the fall, and just another example of the unpredictable nature of the track here, he had some mechanical issues and was eliminated from the chase here in the fall. So it's one driver can be dominant one race, and then something could happen, and he could struggle the next race. I actually this morning I read a quote from Carl Edwards, who of course is with Joe Gibbs Racing, and he said he anticipates having to be his teammates this week for the title, and that's for the race win, and that's a pretty bold statement, considering A, Jimmy Johnson, and B, Kevin Harvick, after his dominant performance here in the fall. But when you look at the Toyota's dominance this year so far with him and Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, of course, winning the Daytona 500, and Matt Kenseth is, you know, he's I think it's an understatement to say he's due for a fine finish. He's had some real bad luck here this year, but he always names Dover among his favorite tracks. So I would look for Joe Gibbs Racing to have a pretty pretty strong strong group of contenders here this weekend.
Yeah, they sure do. And Kansas always runs well there, and so does Carl Edwards. They don't call him Concrete Carl for nothing. So yes. He's won a few there as well, and at least if he wins, you get to see a backflip in victory lane or on the track right after the win.
Yes, I remember him when he won his race here. People asked him afterwards, how was it doing a backflip on an uneven surface? But he stuck the landing okay. I don't know if it was a 10, but it worked out all right.
Oh, that's for sure. It is kind of tough there anyway, unless he parks it more towards the edge of the track, the inner edge of the track there, and should be able to land.
Right, that would give them a little safer surface, yeah.
But being a Sprint Cup Series driver, safety is a concern, but they are a little fearless anyway.
Mm-hmm, yes. Speaking of safety, we actually added almost 500 feet more safer barriers along the inside of our turn three wall in time for this weekend. It's always we always work with NASCAR to, promote safety and enhance it wherever we can. And 2 years ago, we just added a brand new catch fence that people might have noticed when they came out last year. It's a little higher than the old one was. So, but we're always working to improve the track here as far as safety goes, and the recent addition of about 500 feet of new safer barriers along turn three is certainly an example of that.
Well, the way they can get bunched up at the Monster Mile, it's always a good thing. I remember when they redid Pitt Road and the Media Center and made it a lot longer, better, easier for the drivers to get in and out of the pits because they were able to widen it out and give them some driving room because it used to be really narrow.
Right. Well, that's another thing this year with now the limitation to 40 starters for each Sprint Cup race. We were able to redesign pit road a little bit, and each stall is going to have it's going to be 2 feet longer. Now, it might not sound like much, but especially in Dover, every inch of space counts down there in pit road, and that's why qualifying is so crucial here, maybe more than several other places where the top qualifiers can get their stalls, their preferences there, and not get into a jam there on pit road.
Well, this race being the AAA 400 Drive for Autism, I noticed you have a special feature coming up in the enclosed grandstand about the...
It's our Autism Awareness Day at the races. This is the fifth consecutive year we've done that, and it's for children and families who are impacted by autism, and it just gives them a sensory safe environment to enjoy the races, and we'll have games and other offerings and educational speakers there for the families, and there's going to be a choir room in case they need to retreat from the noise for a little bit. We're going to have driver appearances there through on Sunday morning as well. Carl Edwards, Jamie McMurray, and Casey Kane are going to be joining us there in the enclosed grandstand for that event. And you mentioned the AAA 400 Drive for Autism. This is the 10th consecutive year that our spring race has had a tie to autism awareness, and we're very proud that we can shine some light on that important issue. And I think I saw a stat earlier this year. It now impacts about one in every a little less than 70 children across the United States. So it's definitely a problem that hits home in a lot of places. And we're happy that we can lend a hand to promote awareness of that issue.
Also, you picked up a sponsor for the Xfinity race, Ollie's Bargain Outlet.
The Ollie's Bargain Outlet 200, and of course this particular race is one of the four Dash for Cash races on the schedule this year. We've already had the ones in Bristol and Richmond, and the one in Indianapolis will follow us. But that's proved to be an exciting twist on the typical Xfinity race, and just give some added excitement to the opening laps there. There's going to be two 40-lap heats, followed by a 120-lap main race there on Saturday afternoon.
Okay, so they did keep that type of format for Dover as well, which was – I was just going to ask you that, so you kind of beat me to it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. 200 total laps, and 40-lap heats will comprise 80 miles, and then 120 laps will be the last 120 miles for the rest of the 200.
So that ought to make things a little crazy at Dover if it wasn't crazy enough already.
I would think so. Yes, you have to. Of course, you have to preserve try to preserve your car in the heats to be able to contend in the main. But at the same time, you want to get that good starting spot in the main as close to the front as you can, so you can race for the checkered flag. So I mean, it's really proved exciting. And of course, Eric Jones, he emerged. He won the whole thing there in Bristol. He won his heat, and he also ended up taking the checkered flag. So we're looking forward to another exciting Xfinity race there with the Dash for Cash program.
That should make things a little more interesting. Of course, on Sunday, you have you bring your kids to the track, and they can get to meet some of the drivers like Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, and Casey Mears.
Right, in our Monster Mile Youth Nation display, they're going to have a meet and greet session there as well. And it's also going to be where we're going to display our newly painted official pace car this year. Earlier in the winter and spring months, we initiated the Monster Mile Youth Nation Design Challenge, which went out to fifth graders across Delaware, and they were tasked with making a design for our official pace car using crayons or whatever type of just drawing device, very simple drawing devices. They couldn't use a computer program. They just had to use their crayons or marking pencils and their imaginations. And we just had a Eric, I mentioned Eric Jones. He actually came out and helped unveil the winner for us late in April. It was a fifth grader from an elementary school here near Dover that ended up winning. We had more than 500 entries in the contest. So we were from 11 schools across the state. So we were very pleased with that kind of response for our first foray out into the community with this program. But we got a very good response, and people can see the new design there on the pace car in our Monster Mile Youth Nation display, and they can also read about the story and the contest on DoverSpeedway.com.
Well, it sounds like a really jam-packed weekend. I guess you'll be glad when the weekend's over so you can get a little downtime before you have to start prepping for the October race.
Well, we have our next race weekend is September 30th through October 2nd, and it's going to include the Sprint Cup chase elimination, like we mentioned, and also the Xfinity race and a K&N. It's the season finale for the K&N North Series race, so that's where they're going to crown their champion there. It's become an annual event at Dover as well. And, of course, for all the music fans that are listening, right the next month after this race, we have our Firefly Music Festival here on the grounds as well. So as soon as this race is over, we're gearing up hardcore for that as well. So we encourage everybody to come out and check us out. And as you mentioned before, 1-800-441-RACE for tickets, or also visit DoverSpeedway.com.
I was going to bring up Firefly. It seems that that has really taken off, and it's great to bring another event into the local area in Dover and help the local economy as well. Because I actually saw somebody, was on the Jimmy Fallon show, and he goes into the audience and he asks them, I think it was called the Freestyling with the Roots segment.
Okay.
And the one girl, he asked her, you know, basically her name and thing, and then what she did in the summer, and she had mentioned she went to Firefly. So I was like, oh, cool. They got a mention on national TV.
Well, good for her. She made a good choice, especially if it was last year. Everybody will remember we got approximately 90,000 people out in the Woodlands, and of course the main headliner was Paul McCartney, and I was actually fortunate enough to be able to attend that show. It was probably the best concert I've ever attended. He rocked out for at least 2 hours there, and it's pretty impressive to see a guy who's been in that kind of spotlight for so many decades still be able to put on a great show like that. And of course this year our dates are June 16th through 19th, and among the headliners this year are Mumford and Sons and the Kings of Leon. So we're looking forward to another great event out there as well.
You know, to try to get Deep Purple, and there's an old psychedelic band. I think they play once in a while now. They were touring for a bit. The old Vanilla Fudge, they would probably enjoy that gig too.
We always have an eclectic mix out there. Last year we had Snoop Dogg, and there's always something for everybody. Needless to say, out there, and everyone has had a great time, and we're pleased to be the home of that.
Well, it was a great idea to come up with that, whoever did it amongst your team there, and it's just one of those things you really don't get too much in the area, because you can draw the Philly people, the Southern Jersey people, the Delaware, Maryland, even Northern Virginia, I think, might, just
exactly.
For local people coming in.
Oh, absolutely, and how one thing leads to another, the fact that we had that space available, which is normally reserved for RVs during our race weekends and everything. The fact that we had that available, and it was in such a unique setting with the big patch of woods all around it, and everything was laid out, and we had the infrastructure here to be able to handle that many people, was a key factor in the choice to hold that here. And this is going to be the fifth year already of Firefly, and again, we're very happy to be the host, and we're looking forward to a great event.
Are they still doing the Barrel Festival this year, or do they, we're doing
Big
up
Barrel,
the country?
Right, it came about last year, kind of like kind of as a it was new last year, and then this year they decided not to bring it back again. So that was just a 1 year deal, but we're always anxious to hear to work with any organization that would be interested in holding something there. But that was just a 1 year event.
Okay, because I know a few country acts that probably would have loved the exposure if they were still doing it. Matter of fact, one of the singers this weekend, I think she's singing Friday night at the track, is Audra McLaughlin, who was on season 6 of The Voice.
Yes. She's going to be in lot 10 in our RV lots on Friday and Saturday nights. So.
That's good news. Because, as a matter of fact, she should be following you today on Garage Talk Live.
it's not going to be that difficult an act to follow, but I hope she's looking forward to her trip.
Well, being your first time on the show, it was I think it went pretty well. I don't know about you and.
Oh yeah.
Well,
we certainly appreciate the opportunity to get out there and talk about our race weekends coming up. And once again, just for anybody interested in coming down to Dover this weekend, doverspeedway.com or 1-800-441-RACE for any questions or information regarding tickets for any of our three races.
And we'll be sure to do that because this is one of the races on a track that is unlike any other. That's what's good about the Monster Mile. It's not a cookie cutter and it's not a flat, usually boring track. So that's one of the good things, to be a mile long and have a lot of excitement there.
That's correct. The drivers get up to 160 plus miles per hour in qualifying, and this will be the first year of the new aero package here at Dover. So we're anxious to see how that alters the racing, and hopefully it will lead to even more exciting finishes and exciting duels in the around the track. And we're looking forward to a great event.
Sounds like a plan. All right, Mike, I'd like to thank you for joining me today, and I'll let you get back there. I'm sure Gary has Camp, Director of Communications, has a lot of stuff going on that he wants you to attend to, so great having you on, and don't be a stranger.
All right, thank you, Vince. Thank you for the opportunity, and we hope to hear more from you in the future.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now. There you have Mike Lewis from Dover Communications. These communications director, Gary Camp, likes to share the wealth and send his people on. Mike Lewis joining us here today. Sometimes it's track historian George Keller. But busy weekend at the Monster Mile. You can't really not get away from that. It's... used to be my home track. I go there every week since 1999 for a radio show that I co-hosted with another person at good old WNJC 1360 AM. Always give them a plug. I can do that here because I'm independent. So go down to Dover this weekend. If you're going to go just on Sunday, leave kind of early. Traffic gets a little hectic. When I used to go cover the race, I'd leave at 4:30 a.m. just to get there by 7. Normally, me an hour and a half. So on a Friday and Saturday, I'd get there at 7. I'd leave at 5:30. But that extra hour, when you start coming down Route 1, or Route 13, which is the scenic route. Route 1 is the Delaware Turnpike there. It runs all the way from I-295 just inside of Delaware all the way down to the shore points there. So, but on Sunday, race traffic does get a little backed up. Coming and going, so... make your plans to leave early. If you're going for Friday and Saturday, the truck race being late afternoon, and the Ollie's Outlet 200 on Saturday, you're going to get a different format. A couple of heat races, 240 lappers, as Mike said, and then the 120-mile or 120-lap, well, it's a mile. That's why they call it the Monster Mile. It's a one-mile track for the rest of the way. So it's going to get crazy there. I think they should have made it 275-lap heats and then a 50-lap shootout at the end. 200 miles. That would have been awesome. Anybody have a thought on that? Give me a call at 646-649-1899. And if you do want to get tickets, go to the website, DoverSpeedway.com. They have a lot of stuff on there. Track facts, seating maps, guest info, parking, RV parking. Tickets and events, 1-800-441-RACE, R-A-C-E, or DoverSpeedway.com. Just click on the ticket tab. And there's some packages you can go to, and you get to do neat things. Just go to on the tab there and bring out the drop down and go to where you want to go. There's some of the spring schedule, which is the track actually opens because you figure the truck series is going to put up shop there in the infield because they don't have a garage area. Because you have the Sprint Cup Series garage in turns 1 and 2, and you have the Xfinity Series garage off of turn 4. So turn 1 for the Cup, turn 4 for the Xfinity. It kind of wraps around a little bit around the track. So the Camping World Truck Series, being they actually share space there, the track all weekend, it's not like Bristol, where you go, you have the truck series and the preliminary series race on Wednesday, and they're out of there. And then Xfinity and Cup Series come in on Thursday and run Fridays and Saturdays, and Sunday in the spring, or Saturday and Sunday in the spring, so they don't have that option. But and then Friday, you can catch all series on track at once because you have Xfinity practice, Cup practice, truck qualifying, Cup qualifying, and then 5 p.m. driver intros for the Camping World Truck Series. And the start of that race will be at 5:30. And you can catch that race if you're not going to make it to the track. There's always that thing to do that it starts at 5:30 live on Fox Sports 1. Now, back in the day when they ran it on Speed Channel, which turned into Fox Sports 1, they would tape delay it. So I would be able to catch all the beginning stuff, go home, because I had to get up early the next morning to head back down, watch the truck race on TV, and then catch a few Z's before I went down to Dover again the next morning for the Cup race. But anyway, that being said, I said it was a short weekend for racing this weekend with the Camping World Truck Series and in action. So we'll get the coverage of that. We're awaiting my next guest. Hopefully she makes it in. She gets a little busy sometimes, but she'll be performing at Lot 10. I remember when the way they sectioned that out. So for the drivers. Anyway, I'm going to take a look at the Camping World Truck Series. And it turned out to be an excellent weekend for Kyle Busch Motorsports as driving the number 9 truck, William Byron, who's a rookie, taking the checkered flag against Audra getting his first win of the season, and making Kyle Busch a winning truck owner at Kansas. Of course, Kyle normally not having good luck on his own there, so one of his trucks winning is always a plus.
All right, we are now joined by the winning team of today's Toyota Tundra 250. The number 9 team, Liberty University Toyota, we're first joined by our driver, William Byron. William, quite an accomplishment for you. Just your 5th NASCAR Camping World Series truck start. You get your first win. This qualifies you for the chase, and you are also the 9th NASCAR Next alum to win a National Series race. Can you talk a little bit about that experience for us?
It's awesome. I mean, from all the way from like the first race in Phoenix, I knew there was a lot to this. There's so many different ebbs and flows of the race. It's just really important to keep your head in the game, and that was really evident tonight with the way the last 30 laps went, getting a lead, and then on that last restart, you know, falling back to third. You just can't give up. So just really proud of this whole Liberty University team. We had a really fast Toyota Tundra, and KBM is just really giving me a great platform.
Awesome. We are also joined by our winning truck owner, Kyle Busch. Kyle, you've obviously had a lot of success in finding young talent for your truck. Can you talk a little bit about what it means to have William win so early on in his career?
Yeah, I think this night is precedented for William for sure, and just the limited experience that he does have in the truck series, the limited experience that he has in racing in general. I'm well impressed with the way that he's been able to drive in the different vehicles that he's driven in over the years, and the success that he's had in those races as well too, and being able to move up the ladder as quick as he has. And to be with KBM, you know, we saw William early last year and was talking with him and his dad about putting this deal together, and fortunately it all came together, and we were able to be here tonight and be in this moment. So it's pretty special to have William being able to win this soon in his career in the truck series, and hopefully there's many more to come.
There you have driver and team owner, driver William Byron and team owner Kyle Busch. Of course, the rest of the field includes second place Matt Crafton, Daniel Hemric in the number 19 was third, Christopher Bell, another rookie, was fourth, Clint Bowyer, one of the cup guys in the field, fifth, Ryan Truex, take the sixth spot, Cole Custer, another rookie, in seventh, Timothy Peters, 8th, 9th, Ben Kennedy, and 10th, Spencer Gallagher. The race took 2 hours and 21 minutes. speed was 108 miles an hour. Margin of victory under caution. There were 11 cautions for 47 laps and 19 lead changes amongst nine drivers. John West Townley was on the pole, and he wound up uh, 21 laps down, having problems. So, in the top 10 for the Truck Series points, it's Tim Peters at the top, Daniel Hemric second, Ryan Truex third, Tyler Young fourth, John Hunter Nemechek fifth, Matt Crafton sixth, Spencer Gallagher seventh, William Byron, 7th. 8th, Spencer Gallagher. Brandon Brown, 9th. And 10th is Parker Kligerman. So, there's a truck series there. Of course, nationwide off this past weekend. They'll be back in action this coming weekend at the Monster Mile. So you'll be able to catch all three there. So we'll have a lot of stuff coming up as well between three races to talk about and the upcoming schedule for next week. Of course, this weekend, the NHRA will be back in action for the NHRA Summit Southern Nationals in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Atlanta Dragway. So we'll even have more action there. Coming up later this month, I'll be having a few guest co-hosts come in. So stay tuned and check out our Facebook page. If you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. We have a bit of time left, so don't worry about it. We were supposed to have Audra call in. Probably got wrapped up in something. She's probably getting ready for Dover this weekend. She's going to be down there. So, she'll be performing at 8:30. You can catch her in lot 10. And she will be signing autographs and merchandise. She'll be performing around. That's in the camping ground, so check her out. And I'm still trying to get her take on her trip to Bristol as well. So I got two races to talk to her about. Of course, this weekend's events, Sherry White also will be performing, the Jess Zimmerman Band, and Steve Wingfield. So, a lot of music at Dover, as well as some great racing. Anyway, into the Cup Series. The way it looked, Martin Truex won the pole, led five times for 172 of the 267 laps. He was less than 100 laps away from clinching a victory and his place in the chase, but a late pit stop seemed to cause an issue where he wound up with a loose wheel and had to come back in, wound up losing a lap, maybe two. He was able to get one back real quick, and then a yellow came out on lap 242, which put him back on the lead lap with 267 to go laps in the race. He wasn't able to get back to the front, so he had to settle for 14th spot. It's kind of sad, though, because he dominated so well, and he was really smoking the field. You know, the thing is, like, it's yours to lose. So trying not to blow it. Well, on the track, he didn't do it, but the pit stops, which if you were watching on TV, the commentators up until that last one said his pit stops had been flawless. So you knew the jinx was there. And sure enough, it happened. He had a bad pit stop. He was in and out real quick, but with the loose wheel, he had to come back in and then get that off changed up. They changed another four tires, and back out he went. So poor Martin Truex denied again. He had a chance to make the chase, and it's happened a few times this year to where luck had not gone his way. Speaking of luck that went someone's way, on that last restart, Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch were lined up to take the green, and Kyle Busch managed to get ahead of Kevin Harvick and hang on for his first ever win in Kansas at Kansas Speedway in the Go Bowling 400. So he broke a streak that I'm proud to get rid of. Harvick wound up in the second spot. Kurt Busch wound up third. He had a pretty good weekend, running real well. One of my friends was down there covering the race for frontstretch.com, Summer Bedgood, who's been on the show. I tried to get her on, but her schedule doesn't allow her to come in. That's what happens when you're on at noon and everybody else is doing their thing during the day. But we do what we do. In the off season, I think I want to we'll move the show to Sunday nights. But anyway, Kyle Busch, who led twice for 69 laps. Not like he didn't lead anything. You know, he didn't just lead the last 20. He led it a little bit. He, as a matter of fact, he was the second largest lap leader. So that paid off for him taking the checkered flag. Of course, we said Kurt Busch wound up third. Matt Kenseth, fourth. Ryan Blaney, an excellent run for the Wood Brothers Ford and the rookie driver who came up through the Penske organization with, well, sort of the Penske organization. He drove in the truck series for Brad Keselowski, which is Penske equipment, but Brad is the owner, and the Wood Brothers are in partnership with Penske Racing, so good run for Ryan, his first top five. Austin Dillon in the number three Chevrolet was sixth, and Newman, good run for him. He's been rather quiet of late, seventh, a couple of Childress cars in the top ten there. A.J. Allmendinger was eighth in the 47. Ninth, rookie Chase Elliott, who has been impressive since stepping into the 24 after Jeff Gordon retiring from the driving aspect and moving into the booth. Gordon actually doing pretty good in the broadcast booth. And rounding out the top 10, Brad Keselowski. 11th was Carl Edwards. So that kind of puts a lot of Gibbs Toyotas in the top spot. Denny Hamlin, who was up front for a while, tried to make it three wide and wound up taking out, well, it didn't take out Brad Keselowski, but he did get him sideways because Hamlin went in and got loose. He was in the meat and the sandwich, so to speak. Brad Keselowski was on the outside. And, matter of fact, I could find that. Joey Logano was involved and Kyle Larson on coming off of turn four there. And it ended the day for Hamlin and Logano and Larson, only completing 240 laps for Hamlin and Logano because they got the worst of it. And Kyle Larson went out about 12 laps later. But that was the exciting one, how they tried to make it three wide and just got loose. No contact was initially made during the spin. Everything happened as a result of the spin. So that was the excitement of the event there. Now going up to this coming weekend, Martin Truex Jr., originally from Mayfield, New Jersey. This was the race last year where he pretty much dominated. And we'll get to that in a little bit because I do believe we have our race winner, Kyle Busch, talking about winning at Kansas for the very first time. Which is kind of hard to believe. It seems like he wins all the time. It was his third win of the season, which puts him ahead of the seeding in the Sprint Cup Series when the chase comes around. But here's Kyle Busch, Joe Gibbs, and Adam Stevens.
All right, we're going to get started here as our winning team begins to make their way into the media center. We are joined by the winning crew chief of the number 18 M&M Red Nose Toyota, Adam Stevens. Adam, this is the third win of the season for this team. Why don't you talk about that win today?
Yeah, you know, it's always cool to get the victory lane, but to knock off another place that KB hasn't won at is just really special. You know, he's got a very storied career and done a lot of great things, and to help him accomplish the few things that he hasn't done is really cool. But it's a tough race, a lot of adjusting with the track conditions changing, and really grew, really widened out, which was good to see. Lots of pit strategy and just an overall solid night for the 18 team.
Great. We will now start with questions for Adam. We'll start up here in the front with Todd, and then we'll go to Bob.
I think I may not have the numbers right here, but did you guys go the last 56 laps without pitting? Is that right?
Yes, we pitted under green last time.
Yeah, I mean, what was the thought process there? And you know, and I mean, because obviously a lot of other guys came in. But why were you so confident that your car would hold up those last 56 laps?
Well, I hadn't really seen much speed in tires all night. Not much tire fall off. So, and we'd only gone about 25. It was about the perfect time to make that call. A little bit longer would have been harder to make the call, and you'd have had less laps to pass the cars. But it's just so hard to pass, and the cars are so even. As soon as you get the track position, you need to do all you can to maintain it.
We are also now joined by the winning driver of the number 18 M&M's Red Nose Toyota, Kyle Busch. Kyle, you have now won at 21 of 23 active Sprint Cup Series tracks. Why don't you talk a little bit about hitting that milestone today?
Yeah, it was a really great day. I didn't know that we'd have that much speed in our race car. I guess I should have known. But Adam and these guys, you know, they continue to impress me each and every week. We had a
top five car going there in the beginning part, in the middle part of the race. And we just kept making improvements to it, kept making it better. And there was about two runs to go. We got it on the tight side, and I felt like we had decent speed. I really, really didn't know what to do to make it any better. And then after that final pit stop, we kind of got on the free side and we're a little bit loose. And Matt was catching us there. And then those last couple cautions just gave us opportunity to kind of cool the tires down and go back at it again with some of those other guys. And they had tires, but, you know, when you're out front and you focus on hitting your marks and hitting the restart and doing what you can do, then you get an opportunity to try to drive away. But Harvick was making it tough. He was right on my bumper there for a few laps, and I kind of pulled the fly job off turn four, cut it a little bit close. We touched a little bit, but after that, I kind of refocused on being able to hit my marks and hit the line that I was running before the caution came out, where I was really fast. And from there, I was just kind of been able to pull back away and do what I needed to do in order to try to win.
There you have Kyle Busch and talking about his win and what he did to actually get the lead from Harvick and hang on for the win. The top 16 in the Sprint Cup Series, Kevin Harvick actually leads that on points. Kyle Busch being second, only four back. Carl Edwards third. Jimmy Johnson fourth. Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski sixth. Seventh, Joey Logano. Eighth, Austin Dillon. Ninth, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 10th, Martin Truex Jr. Chase Elliott's 11th. 12th is Jamie McMurray. Denny Hamlin didn't help his cause with that finish, dropping to 13th. Matt Kenseth, 14th. A.J. Allmendinger, 15th. And Ryan Blaney, with a good run, was able to climb a spot into the bubble area, dropping down were Ryan Newman and Casey Kane. But they're not that far behind, so that swing between, we'll say, 15th through 19th could change week to week as points separate both of them. Coming up to Dover, I'll be making my pick, so I really got to look at who I want to win there. I said before, pole sitter Martin Truex, who led 172 laps at Kansas last year in this upcoming race, three times for 131 laps, which was the most laps led there. And Denny Hamlin, who finished 21st, led four times for 118 laps. So they were your biggest lap leaders there. But for some reason, this track has Jimmy Johnson's name written on the trophy 10 times. He is the all-time winner at the Monster Mile. I mean, we're talking ahead of Richard Petty and Bobby Allison, who had seven apiece, and Jimmy just keeps running away. Of course, second place led more laps than Jimmy did as well, twice for 91 laps, and was dominant in the chase race at Dover in October last year. Kevin Harvick, who Mike Lewis from Dover seems to feel that he's got a good shot at it, and Harvick finishing second yesterday, or Monday, I should say. He's always he's been Mr. First or Second for a while there with a lot of second place finishes. That started in the year he won the Sprint Cup Series Championship 2 years ago. Of course, last year was Kyle Busch. So it's going to be kind of interesting who will win. Like I said, in the second race, Harvick led seven times for 355 laps. And Kyle Busch finished second. He led 19 laps. Matt Kenseth led three times for 26 laps. So they were your only three lap leaders in the October race. So it makes it kind of interesting. It'd be hard to argue that Kevin Harvick, of course, Jimmy Johnson had problems. But, you know, Dover being Dover and how things go there, I still can't go against the number 48 of Jimmy Johnson at the Monster Mile. Do I think Harvick has a shot? Do I think Kyle Busch has a shot? You can't count Kyle Busch out of any race. I know some people don't like him. Still think he's the way he used to be, but he seems to be a lot more. I don't know, he doesn't have that attitude of when things don't go his way. But he did, I guess, up until last year when he had the accident in the Xfinity race at Daytona and was out for a while and then had to make his way back. Of course, Tony Stewart seemed to have a good run yesterday. He needs to climb into the top 30 and get a win if he wants a shot at the chase. So it should be pretty interesting. Now, the winners this season are Kyle Busch with 3, Jimmy Johnson with 2, Edwards with 2, Keselowski with 2, Hamlin and Harvick each with 1. Those are your top seeds once the chase kicks, and then everybody else makes it in on points. The points will determine which place in the seeding. Your name is listed, actually. I don't think it counts for any difference in points. It all depends on wins is the tiebreaker. If you have a three-way tie, to points as far as how you line up, but you're still going to be the same amount of points no matter what. Anyway, so we'll have some drag racing kicking off this weekend as well, so there's going to be a lot of stuff to watch. Dover with the AAA 400 Drive for Autism and the Ollie's Bargains Outlet 200. And, of course, the Camping World Truck Series race as well on Friday. Triple header this weekend. A lot of racing to watch. So, we're sorry that Audra couldn't make it. It would have been great to get her take and promote her gig, but performing this Friday night at 8:30 in Lot 10. So, a lot of check her out on Friday, and then the rest on Saturday and Sunday for the free concerts in the fan zone as well. We'll see you all next week. Have fun. Good day, afternoon, and good racing. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. That's our page, so go to there, and you can catch this show on a podcast if you couldn't join us live today. So we'll see you all next week. Bye now.